You're listening to Drake in the Morning
with Danny, Wes, and Sid
on 98.1 The Max.
Changed my look till I got my courage up and up to try. And when I went ahead and spread my wings, I found out I could fly. Sometimes all it takes is a leap of faith.
There's our Leap Day song. Best I could do. It's Monday, February 29th, 2016. Day 60 of this year, believe it or not. St. Patrick's Day, 17 days away. The time change is March 13th. Easter is March 27th. Good Friday is March 25th. So it's National Frog Legs Day. That's cute. And National Leap Day. And it's just another Monday to most of us. Leap year, it's been discussed now by some that know and some that don't know and some that don't care. It happens usually every 4 years, but not technically. And what it does is catch up everything, the orbiting of the sun. And
It catches the calendar we use up with the way things really are in the solar system.
So one day every 4 years is when it happens.
With a weird exception.
With the odd exception, yeah. So and I guess in years that you can't divide by four, it doesn't or something. I don't know.
Every year, except for years that are both divisible by 100 and not divisible by 400.
Okay.
That's because it's 365.2422 days is how long it takes the planet to go around the sun.
Okay.
So if you just do it every 4 years, you eventually start to get a gap. That's why the other weirdity in there, which we probably won't ever have to worry about.
We get our clocks realigned and our calendars aligned with the universe, i.e. the orbit around the sun. Today in Ireland is Bachelor's Day when women propose to men. So there are other things here about this. Leap Day babies, there's only one in 1,461. My daughter-in-law is one of those. We had a party for her yesterday. And she leaped off the porch after I pushed her. But yeah, it does happen. So if it is your birthday by some odd occurrence, good for you. You're a unique person, at least in that regard. So that pretty much is that. A big weekend, the Academy Awards last night, which I thought that Chris Rock's opening monologue was hysterical and smart and funny and not mean-spirited, but made the point that all that anybody wants is a chance, being black or white. But he was funny and not mean. He didn't cuss. It wasn't offensive. It was pretty much, I thought, on the money. That's just my opinion. And then there were the awards. That this goes on way too long, and I couldn't hang. Did y'all watch it?
No, I didn't care. I mean, and I liked Chris Rock's opening. I thought it was great. But then when we continued, yeah, I was like,
just,
okay.
And any of Sid?
Yeah, I had it on the background and watched some of it. Yeah,
background.
I forgot about it until it was about 45 minutes in. I turned it on, and they did some technical award. They're this deep into it, and they're still doing technical awards.
I just don't understand why the powers that be just take themselves so seriously. And I have no idea when it was over with, but by about 10 o'clock, I just turned it off. I didn't really have any interest in what was to come. It was good to see a DiCaprio, after five tries, finally win for the Revenant, which allegedly is just an incredible piece of work. It's without dialogue for the most part, and his acting is really just the top notch of the year. The best film, Spotlight, caught people off guard. That's the one with Mr. Keaton and Mark Ruffalo, about the newspaper business and the exposing of Catholic priests and the indiscrepancies, shall we say, that were involved there. And that movie won the best picture that caught a bunch of folks off guard. Brie Larson won for a film called Room, which I'm not sure that was seen by many people. But that book, I forgot, was out about 10 years ago. And this came back to me. My son told me, he said, this whole film was based upon this. It's a very strange book about this little girl who is trapped, kidnapped, and held in a room for months and for years. And her mother is too. And they're being held by some lunatic. And it is written from her perspective as she lives and grows up and is kept in this room by herself. And it was a great book. And so I guess that the film is just as intense. And Brie Larson, I don't know who she is, but she won that one. And then you look up and there was a bunch of the usual things that the American, you know, film watching public or just the folks that, you know, watch TV, they just don't care. And that's why this thing could be an hour and a half long and be done with it. They are doing this for themselves and catering to the Hollywood types. And beyond that, the average person, I can't imagine, who sits there on the edge of their seat. Is it all about just people watching and who's wearing what and how much cleavage they show and who can be the goofiest?
Which I think was important before the internet or the possibility of watching it the next day.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit around and wait for all that. We would have to usually have to wait for or used to People magazine to come out.
Yeah.
You have to look at who wore it best and all that kind of stuff.
Last night, though, the red carpet, the tailgating and the pregame began at, 5 o'clock? It was just the usual nauseating nonsense. And then Chris Rock didn't even come on the air till about 7:15, 7:20. I don't know why that was. But then it drags on and on and on. Best film editing, best sound mixing. It just goes on and on. The Mad Max Fury Road won 6 awards. That must be a heck of a movie.
It's well edited and mixed and it has must, good costumes. Cool.
It must
production.
Be, yeah. So,
you mentioned that most people hadn't seen these. Did you see the Chris Rock filmed bit that he put together where he went and interviewed people at theaters?
Yes, I did see that.
And he started
yes.
asking them, yes. So did you see, what? No, yeah, yeah. You're making these titles up.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just the Hollywood types are out of touch with the heart of America and what they want to see, because most of these films were not ones that the average person went to see. You know, film buffs go to all these things. I used to, but it's too much of a pain to go out to a theater and fight cell phones and idiots. So most of us that get to a certain point just go, I'll see it when it comes on the TV. And it's much easier that way. So that is behind us. Is award season done?
Not for country, but I'm sure everything else is done.
Well, they have one a month, so that's okay. So that is behind us. It is Leap Day. We've made that point. Over the weekend, there were politicians galore in this town in advance of Super Tuesday. Mr. Trump had about 10,000 people in Millington. I guess his plane sat down, and he said some stuff, and everybody cheered, and then he left. And went on to some other place to say stuff and have people cheer. People were in line at 7 o'clock in the morning at the regional Jetport in Millington.
And that's funny because we were making jokes about getting there at 11 to get there in time.
People did 10,000. There was one family, the White family from Cordova. I assume they're Caucasian people. Their name is the Whites. They're following him all over the country. Like he's the Grateful Dead. So that's happening. And
we're selling toupees and stock bonds on a blanket outside the venue to pay the gas to get the
just,
next one.
Just to read some of these things. I mean, we're about out of words with just the observation of what's going on. I read some of the quotes from Rubio and Cruz over the weekend as they're trying to tear down Trump. And these men that want to be the president of your country are too busy talking about what a bad fake tan he has. As Trump makes fun of Cruz I guess they wear makeup on these things. And Donald doesn't. He just has a spray tan. So they're too busy with this, you know, this endless bickering like children to say anything about the future of the country, which is at stake and is on shaky ground, let's say. So Trump was here. The favorite part of this whole story to me, I can't tell who this is from Channel 3. And they indicate here that this lady was a black lady. Her name is Minnie Hunt. And she was one of the few minorities that showed up at the Trump event. Said Ms. Hunt, he is letting us know the truth. I don't care what's going on with him. I'm about what's going on with the government and the peoples.
Well, that about sums
up. Well said. So you go, Miss Minnie. She got out there and went to see him because she thinks that he knows what's going on. Dr. Ben Carson, after we were told Friday he wasn't coming because of issues about security, came anyway.
Well, he wasn't coming to that church, and so they rescheduled him to this Alpha Omega Veterans Services place.
Okay. So he was here. Governor Kasich had a town hall meeting on Friday somewhere. Miss Clinton showed up and went to several black churches and spoke the good word as she sees it. And so then they were off to someplace else to press flesh. And once again, I just don't understand who the hell wants this job. The pace they are having to endure and go through is just mind-boggling. You know, just set this plane down here, walk over to this podium, be adored and loved for about a half hour, and then go on to your next place and get off and walk over and maybe change your shirt and tie. And it's just crazy. And tomorrow we will know a lot more about where this is going. Tomorrow is Super Tuesday. And we will likely not know the end of this until Wednesday morning because of all the time zones and all the you know, states that are in play. But I guess that come Wednesday we will have to, or that people like Ben Carson will probably it's time to go. So Cruz, Rubio, and Trump will continue this dog and pony show unless Kasich loses in Ohio, in which case he says he's done. But is Ohio part of tomorrow? We ought to get a list of these states. It's hard to keep up. There are caucuses in some and primaries in some. And it's hard to keep them all in line. But Ohio and Florida and Texas are states that should be won by the guys from there, like Ted Cruz in Texas, Rubio in Florida, and Kasich in Ohio.
I don't see Ohio on the list.
Maybe it isn't. Maybe it's just not tomorrow. That's possible.
Did he say he had the win tomorrow or it's back to Ohio?
Or he's done. If he can't win the state where he's the governor, well, or was the governor or whatever he is, that probably isn't a very good sign. So, and there's one guy, this story will kind of catch your ear. It says here, if you can't wait till, the election to find out who the next president will be, Stony Brook University professor Helmut Norpeth has the answer. The prof has this formula that's been almost perfect. His model that has predicted who the president will be, who will win. He was right every year but 1912. Now, wouldn't that indicate that he's like extremely old and or dead?
Yes.
Isn't that kind of a strange line that I just realized before? The only one that he missed, or that his formula missed. There's a formula, so perhaps
he went back and did the algorithm or whatever it is.
But that's easier.
So I guess he may not. He probably is alive, but he has deduced all of these things and missed only one, or his formula did not predict 1912. He missed Kennedy's win over Nixon in 1960. As did many people, because that was all turned, I guess Illinois is the one that changed that entire win for Kennedy, thanks to Sam Giancana and the Mafia. He says this year that if it's between Ms. Clinton and Mr. Trump, there is a 97% chance that Trump will win. Does that give you goosebumps?
Yes, in happiness. If it's those two.
Well, I don't know. I'm just not sure it's worth spending much more time and emotion on. If it's those two, I'll vote for Mickey Mouse. If Bernie Sanders wins, then Trump would still win this, this thing says by 90, his odds of the win are 99%. So if this old dude has, or if this model and this this means of predicting mean anything, then this whole thing is about to become some people's worst nightmare and this party's worst nightmare, because they are trying the best they can to do something to unseat Mr. Trump. But nothing is working so far.
I don't know why we didn't hear about this guy before, or like every election.
Yeah.
He got his PhD from the University of Michigan in 74 in political science. He's well published. And you would think that this his name and formula would have come up every time there's a presidential election.
Seems like it. It's like, you know how, you know, they just play all these video games to see who wins football games. You know, they you know, run Madden about 1,000 times to see who will win the Super Bowl. And it's usually wrong, but this guy says that. So we sit back now tomorrow and watch Super Tuesday, which will clarify this in some cases, and in some cases there will still be open-ended things to answer. And they will be answered, surely, in November. And so that's all we have so far. There are other things we'll get to. It's Leap Day. The weekend has come and gone. It was a beautiful day yesterday. I hope you had some good time to get outside and enjoy that. Rain coming in tomorrow, then it cools off again considerably for the week. And the usual transition into spring will be a bumpy road, as it is a lot around here. So there'll be some rain, some nice days, some 30s at night, and that will be the gist of the week as far as weather goes. I'm just watching this up here from Millington over the weekend. Oh, boy. So that's what it is. There are other things. The Tigers had their senior day. The Grizzlies played. Paxton Lynch had his pro day over the weekend and did okay by all accounts. And so we'll look at the sports news, what there is of it, and check your emails if you were out there or saw any of these candidates over the weekend and wish to express your thoughts. You may do that. Mail at drakeinthemorning.com. Or the Academy Awards, which were last night. I wonder how many people watched and or care about any of it. But there are many things on the board to discuss. So if you'd like to, please do mail at drakeinthemorning.com, and we'll get those. And the Facebook page has things up there. The Twitter page has various things on it, and we'll be adding more to that as the days and weeks go by. So hang in there and check those out. And we will check the email and sports in a moment. The DAC Fitness Club, where I've been going for 15 years, good to have them back on the radio. They have lots going on. It is that time of year. You know, come the first part of the year, everybody gets all want to get healthy, and then they bail in about a month. So now we're getting into March and into spring, where it's time to get back into the gym, and they have many things to offer you. This club is a huge place. Indoor pools, outdoor pools. If you join right now, it's as low as $20 a month plus half off right now during their enrollment special. You get $50 in training dollars if you join right now. Join now and get 1 week of free childcare. They will assess your fitness and give you some ideas on how to lose weight and get in shape. They have virtual classes too. If your time is kind of short, they can explain to you how their virtual fitness classes work. DAC in South Haven is the biggest club of its kind in the area. I've been going there forever. A great staff, full of good people. They have all the tanning and coffee bars and smoothie bars and juice bars. They have group classes for kids, for seniors in the pool. All the tools you'll need to reach your fitness goals, and it's just the best place to go. There are many other clubs around here. There's not one like this. It is very family-friendly, child care, classes, and schedules, all of these things to fit your training needs, and they will help you get in the best shape of your life. They have a new app. It's on the website, DACSouthHaven.com, for further information. They're on Goodman Road, right near Getwell. And you can go there and, like I do, and try to not die. It's fun, and they're good people, so go after it. They're on Facebook and Twitter, too, DAC South Haven. Go see them and get signed up today. We'll come back with our other things to look at in just a minute. Be right back. Coming up these days earlier, it's a nice sunny Monday for a change. Very nice. Highs about 70 for today, like it was yesterday. It was very windy. There is rain heading our way again tomorrow and then cooling off again. So it's one thing one day and something else the next. But eventually, the time change will be here March 13th. And then you'll have your Good Friday and then you'll have your Easter. And then it'll be April. All this happens before April, so... And then we, in the middle of all that, is St. Patrick's Day on March 17th. So there's always something to either ignore or engage in. I choose to ignore most of it. Is it okay?
That's all right. Okay. That's how you want to live your life. That's cool.
Well, I guess.
It's your life.
Yes, I know. I know.
And we're just living in it.
Well, thank God you're here. Or it'd be really ugly. Tomorrow, Kyle Vesey will be here. We can... look at the mayor's issuance of Friday. Jim does it's a very smart thing to do, too, from his office, kind of a little press release on what he's been doing, what ties he wore this week, his boxers, and things like that about his real life, and then about government, too. And then Kyle, I guess, helps him put it out, then they discuss, or we discuss it with him on Tuesdays. So that is tomorrow, and various things coming up that'll be here as days go by. Shay Flynn here Wednesday. We'll see how long Shay can stick to his conviction, being a guy that watches politics and has for a long time, that Donald Trump will not be the nominee for the GOP. It's getting harder and harder to defend that position, but maybe he knows more than we do. Maybe there's about to be some bombshells dropped about something. One accusation is that he won't give up his tax information because there are obvious links to the mafia. There are obvious links to the mafia everywhere. It's all in how you define the mafia. But Ted Cruz isn't giving up his either, and this has all come down to a finger-pointing little girl bitch fest. But tomorrow we will clarify more of what the realities are, and we'll see. In the sports world over the weekend, the Tigers had their senior day, and they won a ball game. Good for them. They beat Tulsa by 10. And sent off some of these young men on a high note after a difficult season. They have two games left, and then the tournament begins in Orlando on the 10th. So it's about time for March Madness. This has been one of the most upside-down years in college basketball history. Top 10 teams have lost 73 times this season. That's how out of control it is. Nobody knows who's any good, who's bad, who might win this. But when these teams have lost 73 times over the course of this season, there's just no one that is a clear-cut favorite to be there at the end.
Does that make it more exciting or more annoying?
Yeah. It's exciting as heck. I mean, if you have a team that is so dominant, like Kentucky can be or like Duke can be or North Carolina or Kansas or Michigan State, or so on and so on. It just makes it, it's just kind of, eh. This is a complete and utter crapshoot.
And that means that the brackets then will be,
exactly,
there'll
right.
be more winners, more women winners that have no clue about basketball, that just fill it out.
Because the names are cute.
Exactly. No offense, but if it's that kind of a crapshoot, that's usually how it goes.
This year will be maybe the biggest year ever for investments in doing these brackets, because there's just nobody that's been good consistently all year long. At one point, Duke was out of the top 25. Kentucky has been up and down and not very good all year long. Michigan State's pretty good, so is Kansas, but there's no clear-cut, really dominant team, which makes this thing a lot more fun to watch. So the Tigers' odds of getting to it seem to be slim. But if by some chance they could close strong and win this tournament, they could do it. But the odds there, once again, are also rather slim. The Grizzlies have their own issues, and people are beginning to kind of deflate over their hopes of them being in the playoffs. Eight teams go from the East, eight teams go from the West. At one point, there was no question that this team would be in there. But Marc Gasol gone for the year. And over the weekend, there were some more injuries. Tony Allen is hurt, and he's not playing. He's kind of a hit or miss. And then Brandon Wright, who they brought in to back up the spot vacated by Marc Gasol, he's hurt. So all these injuries and new guys on this team to fill the holes left by Jeff Green and Courtney Lee and Marc Gasol, the chemistry isn't there yet. And then they all get hurt. It's hard to win with that kind of a combination. So they're doing the best they can with about 25 games left. But I mean, you know, can they close strong enough to get in the playoffs? If they were to get in there and get the eighth seed, they would play Golden State. And if you saw that Golden State game over the weekend, this kid, Steph Curry, is one of the darndest things I've ever seen watching basketball. They played the OKC Thunder on Saturday night. And I turned it on briefly, and they were behind by 15. And I went, well, that's weird. So I turned it off, and I guess I just went to sleep. Well, the next morning, I see the final score, and the game went to overtime. And Golden State, there was something like 0.6 on the clock or something, or maybe less than that, or maybe about 2 seconds. And Golden State and Steph Curry brought the ball in. This is something that you just got to see. And about 2 feet away from the half-court line, he shot it, swish, and Golden State wins the ball game. This kid is like some kind of little freak. He's incredible. And this video, you must see it. I'm sure it's on ESPN and on YouTube. But he got the ball and just sort of, it just flies up and through the net, and nobody can believe it.
And I don't keep up with it quite as much as you and my husband do, but when you said Oklahoma City, I thought of Kevin Durant, because I've just loved watching him the last few
Russell
years.
Russell Westbrook,
So, but I don't hear about any of these players. I hear about Kobe because he's retiring, and Steph Curry.
And LeBron because he's not playing because he's tired. But Steph Curry has been so dominant, and he now owns every three-point record that exists. And how old is this guy?
Early 20s, right?
Probably mid-late 20s, I would guess. He played his college ball, and he came out 3 or 4 years ago. But he's a very unassuming little guy, and it's just like, I mean, this ball just leaves his hand, and you know it's going to go in. It's just kind of eerie. But to win a ball game like that, almost from mid-court, with a shot almost at the buzzer, was just remarkable. So they're very impressive.
27.
Yeah. So he has a long time to go. He's just an unusual basketball player, and if he can maintain this, he's going to be up there with the guys like Jordan, and the talk about just the greatest players of all time. They were great last year. They're even better this year. And so how long can he go and sustain this with that Golden State team? And the incredible, his skills are remarkable. Why can't they guard this guy? Trip him, push him, do something.
He's so elusive,
he just shoots it. I don't know.
At the beginning of the season, I was saying that he reminded me of Steve Nash, but I mean, he's just surpassed everyone. He doesn't remind me of anyone.
No, he's just, he isn't that big. What was he, about 6'2 or 3?
Yeah, and he's fairly skinny.
He's real skinny. He has no big, muscles and stuff. He's a very intelligent guy.
Cute little daughter.
He's just fearless, but he has some gift. As that ball leaves his hand, you just know it's going to go through. I mean, he does miss on occasion, but boy, at the right times, it's something else.
He's 6'3", 190 pounds.
He's a freak with laser eyes and deep, deep skills. Peyton Manning is going to announce this week that he is, by all reports, he will be retiring, which is the only, that's just the smart thing to do. It's also, I'm sure that the Broncos, they don't want to see him go, but sometimes it's just time. And if he were to come back next year, they'd owe him $19 million. John Elway and that club don't want to pay him $19 million bucks at his age, and he could be, you know, hurt with one hit, and they still got to pay him $19 mil. He's made a lot of money. So if he were to come back, that would be effective on March 9th, and that money would begin to be paid to him. So tomorrow is March 1st, so by the end of the week, likely you will hear Peyton say that he is going to retire from the game. And hopefully, he will not make the mistake that Joe Namath and others have made just trying to play one more year. It never goes well. It went well for one person, kind of, and that was Joe Montana. But I hope that he will just take his money and go away and play golf or something.
I just looked at the backup quarterback for Broncos is Brock Osweiler.
Yes.
Is he good enough to be?
Yes.
So they don't need to.
He played four games this past year and did very well. And Peyton came back in and saved one game. He won that game. But Osweiler is good and young and tall and can be a great quarterback.
And he's good looking.
Well, that's all
he's,
that matters.
He's better looking than Tom Brady, and I will fill out my bracket accordingly.
Johnny Manziel needs to be put somewhere in a penitentiary and just left, or in a straitjacket. The kid's going to kill himself. And he was spotted. This case in Dallas is going to a federal grand jury because the guy beat up his girlfriend. He's just a dip. He's an idiot. He's an immature, entitled little punk. He was out drinking champagne, or spotted in a bar in Miami with his posse and whatnot, pouring down some Cristal just hours after police sent the evidence to the grand jury in his case. What a moron.
He's celebrating.
He's an idiot. Jimmy Johnson won the NASCAR race yesterday in Atlanta. You go, Jimmy. He's the man. He finished inches ahead of, I guess, Dale Earnhardt. I don't know. But Jimmy Johnson won. That's all I can tell you. And the rest of this is a little, some baseball movement, not very much. But those guys are going to start playing some games in the next couple of days that'll be on TV, which will be a nice touch. And the NHL season carries on, the NBA about 25 games left. And beyond that, it is a transitional time. College hoops, March Madness, it's all coming up, and we'll sit back and enjoy all of these things. A lot of things to email about and discuss. If you'd like to, mail at drakeinthemorning.com. The Academy Awards, the election for president. It goes on and on and on.
Most of what we have today is presidential stuff.
Oh, goody. Let's hear it.
Heb wrote in saying, I'm convinced that the two parties have failed. We continue to vote
Way to keep up.
We've continued to vote for the lesser of two evils for the last 20 years, and it's not working.
You're right.
In March, there's going to be the first ever libertarian debate on Fox Business, and this should be a more substantive debate.
Substantive.
There you go. Good thing I don't talk for a living.
Right.
Maybe it's time to consider a third party that's not part of the establishment's.
Maybe many people are having those thoughts, but then again, you got 10,000 that go to Millington to see Donald Trump. So, and then here's Ted Cruz up here. It's like, who's the lesser of all the evils? That's what it's come down to, and that's wrong.
And Gordon says it's become a sad situation that the American people have turned to Donald Trump to be our president, but the politicians of the U.S. have themselves to blame for all of this.
Yep.
For setting this up. And Kville Cat, probably not the real name there, just sums it up with Kid Rock for president.
Okay, that's brilliant. Thanks so much.
Let's see. Someone wanted to know the name of that Disturbed song, so I let them know about
Sound of Silence. Right. It's an old song by Simon and Garfunkel. It's coming up. I'll play it. It'll get you off to a nice suicidal start to your day.
We were talking about millennials for something last Friday and trying to pin down what they're supposed to be. Jimmy wrote in saying,
annoying.
Over the last couple of weeks, I've listened to you guys wonder and about that term. It's someone born between January 1984 and roughly December of 2002.
Yeah, I know.
And
I got two of them.
Okay. As he goes on to say, as a millennial myself, it's embarrassing that my generation has this mentality for bitching about this, that, and the other, for handouts and not working and earning it. It's not all of us. It's just the ones who were brought up by insecure parents. And if you're worried about that, get ready for Generation Z, which is the generation that's going to be solely dependent on social media for everything that goes on in their life.
They already are, and that's part of the that's one of the signs of the end of the world.
And the good news, though, is that it's Generation Z, so after that, we're done.
Yeah.
We don't have any more generations. No, we've ran out of letters.
We're just done.
Yeah, it's, you know, we've just turned into a society. I was outside yesterday, and it was just a gorgeous day, and you know, things are blooming, and the wind was blowing, and there's owls out there hooting and mating, and birds making nests. I thought, you know, people have forgotten about, you know, about the real things that matter. They are too busy and too consumed by social media in some form to notice anything else. They can't have they can't sit and talk to you. They got their you know, face in their phone or their iPad. They can't converse. They can't communicate. They don't appreciate anything. They're too busy wrapped up in themselves and their Facebook page. It's really depressing. So Generation Z, it's all on you, because most of us are about over even. It's just it ain't worth fooling with anymore.
You didn't take a picture of the mating owls and post it on Facebook and say, this is what I'm enjoying.
I can't. Well, they are so good at camouflage. You can just hear them. And they're so beautiful, and they fly, and this wingspan is just gorgeous. But when they light in a tree, you can't see them, and they're huge, and they're gorgeous. But they are out early doing something, trying to find girlfriends, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, huh? Making more owls.
Right.
Generation O.
There you go.
And Greg wrote in saying that he's reaching out to see if we can have a conversation about scheduling a very senior member of the campaign for the Bernie Sanders campaign to be on the radio today or tomorrow.
No, sir, but thank you, though.
You need to do that maybe before it's late on Sunday night, the day before you want to be on the radio.
If that indicates how his campaign's going, it's not going very smoothly.
Yeah. If you have anything you want to say about anything else that's going on, please do. mail@drakeinthemorning.com is the email address for that.
Yeah, just to watch these, just the sound clips up here and the editing of these people arguing about who's the tannest and who's the biggest douche. It's just depressing. Talk about substantive. Oh, my.
But that's how Trump's made a name for himself and gotten such high ratings, so I'm sure that's why they're doing it.
But they're not good at it.
No.
That is right.
That's exactly right. They should be talking about policy, and he has the other. There's a new story in Rolling Stone on newsstands today, I believe, done by Matt Taibbi, who writes about politics and has for a long, long time. And his story is about Mr. Trump and about all the challenges that he has faced in his business life and how he has failed some and how he has conquered some. He's won, he's lost, he's bounced back. And the general gist of the story is that in comparison to the deals he's done before, this is the easiest thing he's ever done. And he's making mincemeat of everybody else. Just his style, just his commanding, his ongoing presence. And he'll call anybody anything. And people have embraced it. And to stop him now is going to take an act of something. I'm not sure what it is.
And he made a successful TV show, whether you watch it or not. It ran for quite a while, but that's what people wanted to see was exactly the producers just didn't go pick somebody and say, hey, we think you're a great businessman and you'll be great in the boardroom and you could fire people. They did Donald Trump because he's the.
Yeah, he's the top of the heap of that.
Yeah.
Thing. Well, you know, we've had actors before who have been presidents. Remember Ronnie Reagan?
Yeah.
He was in cowboy movies and stuff. He was a great actor. And it really. No, he was in. He was an average actor, but good enough to convince America that he was the man. He had the look, he had the moves, and then he had 8 years of doing some good things and some bad things, like every other president we've ever had. Some have one term, some get two. But the idea of Trump scares that party to death, and they're doing all they can to stop this. But it's getting late in the game to stop it.
Tomorrow is really the deal.
Yeah.
It'll dictate a lot. And we need a list of states because Ohio and Florida and Texas.
Okay. Ohio has their primary later on this month. That's what Kasich is trying to hang on for to see how he does there. And that's what he has said is his make or break.
Right.
It's Ohio.
That's March 15th.
Right.
Yeah.
But so today,
Ohio and Florida, that's down to the nut cutting right there. And that is 2 weeks from tomorrow. So those two states will dictate, I would suspect, where this goes from here on out. Because that's Kasich and that's Rubio. If they don't win their own states, they're done. So,
right.
We'll just stand back and watch.
Tomorrow, yeah, I could give you the whole list, but we've been over it before. But yeah, the important thing is it includes Tennessee and Arkansas.
Yeah, tomorrow, and it's in Tennessee and Arkansas. And so it's your chance to speak your piece. But it's going to be Trump by a long shot, I would suspect, in the GOP, and Ms. Clinton on the other side of the aisle. I don't know. The Oscars, this stuff, it all seems like the same bowl of
crap.
Poop. I don't know. We'll do a break and come back with the dumbasses of the day. Try to top them with what we just talked about. It may be difficult.
We play great music, talk to interesting people, and give away free stuff. Radio Perfection. This is Drake in the Morning on 98.1 The Max.